Good morning. It is always good to be together, and now we're really all together at our one service on a Sunday morning. It is so good to see you and to be in this place worshiping our God. As always, it is important that all of you know that whether visitor or regular, you are welcome here. We will do our best to invite God into this place and to meet you where you are, knowing that God is in this place and in it with us. If you are a visitor for the first time here at St. John's, I invite you to find a card in your pew that looks something like this, to fill it out and then to place it in the basket on the back bench as you exit. It's a good way for us to learn a bit more about you and for you to learn a bit more about us. As always, I do have a few announcements to share, some things to keep on your radar in the days ahead. First of all, a huge thank you to all who donated to our VBS Volunteer Believe Serve Pack the Backpack Drive for Urban Promise. The packing of the backpacks happened last week on Wednesday. My goal was to do 30, and I believe there were 50 or 51 that were packed, which is awesome. And that is not counting all of the teacher and classroom donations. So there's a whole bunch of stuff downstairs that we will be delivering to Urban Promise in the weeks ahead. So thank you. Our last VBS opportunity is next Sunday back at Mitzvah Circle in Norristown. If you are interested in being a part of that event, I believe the sign-up sheet is still in the narthex, but you can always just contact me or the church office to be a part of that. Another announcement from Samiko, who heads up our umbrella ministry. I know you all have seen our umbrella ministers who hang out at the back door before the service and help people carry things in, open the door, and sometimes when it rains, they do have an umbrella. If you are interested in being a part of that ministry, getting here a little bit early, welcoming people into the building, please see Samiko. She's front and center right now. But also there's a sign-up sheet in the hallway of bulletin boards. And I'm sure if you sign up your name there, she will be in touch with you. I do have two additional people coming up to do announcements, but I do want to say, before we do that, we are obviously having communion today. We'll be celebrating the sacrament of communion with one another. I think it's very fitting, given the week that we have had, that we are all together in one service, in one place, sharing in this sacred meal. Things are going to be a little bit slightly different in terms of order. Communion will be more at the center of our service after the sermon, because it's the center of who we are, and so I decided to move it. But also, things are a little bit different. You may have noticed that the individual cups were not in the back. We are doing plate communion. If you would still like an individual packaged cup for safety concerns or for whatever reason, they will be coming around at the time of communion, so you didn't miss anything. So when I announce to raise your hand if you are interested in gluten-free bread or the individually packaged elements, we'll just raise your hand and Grace Bruin will be coming around with those things. So you didn't miss anything, don't panic. All right, at this time I'm going to invite Don Atkus forward, who has an announcement to share.
Good morning. We all learned a lot Friday, and one of the things we learned is Sue can keep teaching us lessons. So for my talking points, I did cut and paste.
That's perfect.
Very good idea, very good idea. The creation stewards at St. John's have arranged with a group called PAR Recycles for an electronics recycling event on September 24th from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. at church. So if you want to recycle electronics, start saving them up. We can all get rid of them. They'll take virtually anything, even tube TVs. With Jerry, I think Jerry has one of them. PAR is a nonprofit group that employs and trains formerly incarcerated people following their release from prison. It's a great group. One of the things they say, the unemployment rate for people that are released from prison is over 50%. And the best way to avoid recidivism is to give them steady employment, which is part of what PAR Recycle does. They train and employ people. They've held recycling events in our area, North Penn High School. Almost all of us have waited hours in line trying to recycle stuff at North Penn. But they've done area churches and synagogues and other outfits. We're asking, in combination with that, that if you're going to bring a recycling event, you also bring a non-perishable food item for MANA on Main Street so we can help them. This event is perfectly aligned with our Creation Stewards goals of protecting the environment and also addressing income inequality. So it's a wonderful opportunity for us. We need 10 to 20 volunteers to help direct traffic and unload, not heavy stuff, they provide help for that, but just unload easy things and organize them and all that stuff. So we have sign-up sheets in the narthex and also over here by the library. If you can do, we're gonna try to do 2-hour shifts. If we get enough people, we can do that. If not, we'll have to give longer shifts, but hopefully we can get enough volunteers. As Addie said on Friday, Reverend Sue would want us to pick up where she left off. So this gives us an immediate opportunity to do that, and hopefully we'll get enough help. Thank you.
Thank you, Don. I'm going to invite Liz Rivett forward now to make our final announcement.
Good morning. I bring news from the transition team. On August 8th, Council approved the transitions team's recommendation to extend a call to Reverend Dale Davis to serve as our interim senior pastor. Reverend Davis has accepted the call and is preparing to join us starting on September 19th. Reverend Davis is currently serving as a designated pastor at neighboring Wences UCC. Reverend Davis is well known to Pastor Addy, and they have been in conversation with each other already to prepare for the upcoming time of change. Pastor Addy shared at council that in the midst of the last several weeks, her confidence has grown in Reverend Davis joining her to lead St. John's congregation and staff through this challenging and sacred time of healing, growth, and discernment. Our call to Reverend Davis is within our budget for 2022, still allowing us to engage guest preachers to continue to bridge the gap until his start date. Our call to Reverend Davis, Reverend Davis has prepared a short introduction, which will be shared in the Herald and the Enlightener, and there will be copies available in the elevator lobby after the service today. We'll share more details in the coming weeks regarding his introduction. Many thanks for keeping St. John's staff and transition team in your prayers over these last many months. They have made all the difference. Thank you.
Thank you, Liz. There is much on the horizon for us as a church family, as a congregation, and lots to look forward to. But in the meantime, I'm going to invite you to put all of that in another part of your brain so that we can be fully present in this time and in this place. I invite you to join me in taking a deep and slow and very intentional breath as we invite God into this place, into our presence. And then as we exhale, I invite you to set aside all that fills your brain, all that busyness, all that worry, all that care, that you might find yourself here in this place, open to what God has in store for us this morning. Amen. Our theme this morning is Restore Us, and I'll reflect quite a bit more on that in the midst of my meditation this morning. But in the meantime, I wanted to invite us into a spirit of prayer and by sharing an opening prayer and a call to worship. So I invite you to be with me now in a spirit of prayer. God, the last time so many of us gathered in this place, we were filled with grief and sadness, unsure of how we would move forward from the valley of the shadow of death. And yet, today is a new day of your creation. God, hold what was with us and fill us with the hope of what will be. Meet us now in this place, O God, and restore us. As we pause, as we pray, as we sing, as we listen for your voice, as we worship in your name, in the name of your Son, Jesus, and in the name of your Holy Spirit that surrounds us now. Amen. I invite you now to join me as we confess our sins together by praying the prayer of confession that is printed in our bulletins. Let us pray. God, from the very start, we learn that you are a God who creates and that all you make is so very good. But even things created perfectly cannot stay perfect. We confess that at times we have not stood in awe of the beauty you entrusted to our care, but rather we have been forces of destruction and have treated your creation, even our fellow humans created in your image, like you made them for us to mindlessly use and abuse. Help us to open our eyes and be about the work of restoring, which is seeing the hope that lies within all things and doing the work to make that goodness that you intended from the very beginning. As we do this work, may you restore our hearts, patiently and compassionately, bringing us deeper into who you created us to be, reminding us of the goodness that you wove into each fiber of our being. Amen. Friends, God restores us by offering us grace and forgiveness time and time again. Just as we, children of God, are claimed by God, we claim God's gift of forgiveness for the gift that it is. May we claim it this day. May it change the way we live in this world, and may we offer it to others as freely as it has been offered to us. May it be so. Amen. Please be seated.
Good morning. Our first lesson is the familiar Psalm, Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord my whole life long. The second lesson is from the book of Mark, chapter 8, verses 22 through 26. They came to Bethsaida. Some people brought a blind man to him and begged him to touch him. He took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the village. And when he had put saliva on his eyes and laid his hands on him, he asked him, "Can you see anything?" And the man looked up and said, "I can see people, but they look like trees walking." Then Jesus laid hands on his eyes again, and he looked intently, and his sight was restored, and he saw everything clearly. Then he sent him away to his home, saying, "Do not even go into the village." Thank you. morning.
So I have a message for the children. I'm not seeing any, but also for the young at heart. Our theme today is restore us. So what does that mean, to restore something? Maybe you have something of yours. It used to be your parents, or maybe your grandparents, and now it's yours. Maybe you have a toy or a doll or a favorite book that your parents read, and it's something that you want to keep in good shape. I have this book. This is a book that my parents read to me. It's called The Burgess Animal Book for Children. I don't know how many of you know this, but this book, it's taped together. It's falling apart. The letters, everything's very yellow, and I would love to restore this book into a better condition. I do have some examples of things that have been restored. So if you know us, you know that my husband has this love of cars, and he's been restoring this car. It's a 55-year-old car, and to restore it, you have to take it completely apart. And then you take all the body parts and you scrub off the rust and you fill in spots that might not be so great, and then you paint it. It's beautiful red now. It looks great. But all those parts we took off, we have to take every one of those parts and we have to restore every one of those parts and then put it back together. So that's where we are right now. I brought a box. We have 100 of these boxes. So I'm just going to show you a couple of parts here. I'm sorry for the crinkling. This is a horn grill. A horn grill. It's got some blue paint on it. The car was originally blue. It's really rough. There's some plastic on here that's. It's just really terrible. It's not supposed to be black. Somebody painted it. So we have a restored one, and you'll notice how carefully this is wrapped. This is what it's supposed to look like. I know. It's great. I'm just going to wrap it back up. It's beautiful. It really is. And every time we get a restored part, it's wonderful. But you can imagine for a moment how long it's going to take each of these horrible-looking pieces and restore them into something new. Some of them we'll buy something that's restored. Some of them we will restore. But think about how long it's going to take. It'll take a while. So for a moment, pretend you're that old car and God is restoring you. Maybe you fell, you broke your arm, and you have to wait the time it's going to take for that bone to heal. Maybe you're really mad at somebody, a friend or a family member, and you need God to scrape all of that anger off of the top so that that shiny love can come through. Maybe you look really good on the outside, like our shiny red car, but the inside is empty. So you're sad inside, and you need your inside, your soul, to be restored. And you can ask God to help you with that and be patient while that happens. Maybe you can help God restore others by telling him you're thinking about them, giving him a nice warm hug. And while we're waiting for God to restore us, or we are working to restore others, remember, we have to be patient for however long it takes to be restored. So now let's pray, and then afterwards we can say the Lord's Prayer. Dear God, thank you for being with us today and every day. Thank you for rejoicing when we're happy. Help us to notice when our friends and family are sad so that we can comfort them. Remind us that no matter how sad we might feel, all we have to do is ask for your comfort, and you will restore us. Now hear us as we pray the prayer your Son taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts,
as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
I invite you to be with me now in a spirit of prayer. Loving God, we pray for open ears, open minds, open hearts, open eyes, that your word of restoration might be in the midst of mine, that we might have the courage to live into that word this day and all the days ahead. Amen. What a week it has been. What a few weeks it has been. What a season, really. Loss, grief, shock, emotional and actual exhaustion. So much of what we know, what has always been, and what we counted on has gone away, disappeared, crumbled before our very eyes. So our theme this morning, Restore Us, feels fitting and desperately needed, but it also feels a little painful and a bit overwhelming. Countless times over the past few weeks, I have found myself saying, where do I even begin? When asked things like, how are you? Or what's been going on? Or what now? It is hard to capture to summarize, to explain where we are and what we are feeling. Hard to imagine how we will wake up from this fog of grief. Hard to envision how we will pick up the pieces and keep on keeping on. Hard to trust that God will indeed restore us as individuals and as a community. Writer Anne Lamott echoes these sentiments when she says, "Where do we even start on the daily walk of restoration and awakening? We start where we are." Indeed, we do. So here we are, my friends, with all that we carry, putting one foot in front of the other, making some mistakes, hoping that each step makes up our daily walk of restoration and awakening, trusting that we do not walk alone. Restoration is one of those words that has a lot of different meanings. Lots of times, what we think about is bringing something back to exactly what it was before. Back to the days when someone else was in charge. Back to the way things were. Back to before when they got sick or passed away. Back to when things just seemed easier and lighter, and when we knew what the heck was going on. Back to the glory days. But I think that we do God such a disservice when we allow restoration to only be about looking back. The day we are in, today, this is the glory day. The present is the present. This is the day we have been restored to. Not the same as yesterday, not the same as tomorrow will be, but the day in which the wisdom of the past and the hope of the future meet. I think I've talked before about my love of HGTV, and what seems to be the trend right now are shows about restoration. People find old, dilapidated houses whose charm and character has deteriorated or been carpeted or wood paneled over, and they bring them back to life, back to their former glory and better. They balance what was, what worked then, with what works now to provide timeless beauty in the days ahead. There is satisfaction in the work of restoring, leaving something better than you found it. The work of restoration is not just about bringing something back to exactly what it once was, but it's about uncovering what it was created to be and envisioning what it will be in the days to come. The work of restoration is the work of God, and it is the work of hope. God is one of restoration, always renewing and refreshing and redeeming and equipping, stripping us of what has become of us so that who we are created to be and who we will become can be revealed. I think of the 23rd Psalm that Sally read, a song of restoration, reminding us that whether the walk of restoration and awakening takes us down pleasant paths or dark valleys, God says to us, "Don't be afraid, we'll go together." The work of restoration is God's call for us as well, all of us together. God calls us to leave things, to leave people better than we found them, to see within each of God's beloved creations who they are at their core and how we might help in bringing about the beauty that God baked into them from the very start. In our gospel reading today, we hear about Jesus giving vision to a blind man. Christ puts saliva in his eyes and lays his hand over them, and Scripture tells us that his sight was restored and he saw everything clearly. But it's important to realize and remember that what that man saw when he opened his eyes was not the world as it was when he lost his sight. Restoration in this story meant that the man's ability to see the world was restored, not that the world was restored to exactly as it had been. God promises restoration, there is no doubt. And I can almost guarantee that it will look different than we imagine it to look, different than we want it to look, different than our ideal, different than we had planned. God also promises renewal. And our challenge is to seek a balance between a God who restores and a God who makes all things new. I love the image of a man opening his eyes, whose vision restored allows him to see a whole new world. I am so painfully aware, my friends, that in times of grief, in times of loss and sorrow, the temptation to look backwards, to stay locked in reverse, to let reminiscing become our permanent orientation is so very strong. Why? Because we desperately miss what was, and because what was something we know about. What will be is a mystery. Restoration, true restoration, is a risk, because it means our eyes will be open to a world we have not seen yet. But this is where the rubber of our faith meets the road of reality. We must trust that God will meet us when we open our eyes. We must trust that God will meet us and hold us and feed us for the journey ahead, not to mention surround us with the very best companions and fellow travelers on the road. In just a moment, we will gather around Christ's table. It's at the center of our worship service, as I said, because it is at the center of our faith, the place we go when we don't know where else to go. It's the center of what it means to be a people restored. We are different people, both as individuals and as a community, than we were when we gathered here last. The world is a different place, and yet the promise of Christ's restoration remains. So may this sacred meal nourish us, that our vision might be restored to see the new world that awaits us. Not the glory days, but the most glorious day we've got, today. Don't be afraid. We'll go together. Amen. Thank you. I'm a big believer in claiming where we're at, so I'm just going to say this is the first time I have done this by myself. This is also the first time I have done this in about 2.5 or 3 years. So I'm going to ask for your grace for myself and for all of us as we remember the choreography, and for myself as I do roles that I have not previously done. We call this the joyful feast of the people of God. But there was a lot more than joy that surrounded Jesus and the disciples as they gathered together in that upper room. There was a lot of the same things we're feeling. Joy that we're together, yes, but also fear and unknown and worry and nervousness and grief. The disciples gathered together in that upper room with Jesus, who was preparing to be crucified, and they didn't know what was going on, but they knew they were together, and they were grateful for that. And so they gathered together in that upper room, knowing that they were all welcome, and I want to remind everyone of that this day. There's a lot of logistics that go into communion. You know where the grape juice is and where the wine is. The wine's in the outer circle. The juice is in the inner circles. As I said before, gluten-free bread and a basket with the individual elements, if you wish to do that, will be passed around by Grace Bruin. She'll be making the rounds like I used to do. But it is important that all of you know, every single one of you know, that no matter who you are, and no matter where you are in life's journey, whether this is your millionth time receiving the body and blood of Christ, or this is your first time, whether you think you are worthy or not, whether you've been told you can't have it before or not, you are welcome at this table, because this is Christ's table. And at Christ's table, there is a seat for every person. I'm going to invite you to join and follow along in our bulletins as we go through the order to lead us to the table. Jesus said, "I am the bread of life. You who come to me shall not hunger. You who believe in me shall never thirst." We come to this table to know the risen Christ in the sharing of this life-giving bread. God be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to God Most High. Holy God, our loving Creator, close to us as breathing and distant as the furthest star. We thank you for your constant love for all you have made. We thank you for all that sustains life, for all people of faith in every generation who have given themselves to your will, and especially for Jesus Christ, whom you have sent from your own being as our Savior. We praise you for Christ's birth, life, death, and resurrection, and for the calling forth of your church for its mission in the world. Gifted by the presence of your Holy Spirit, we offer ourselves to you as we unite our voices with the entire family of your faithful people everywhere. Holy, 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 God of love and majesty, the whole universe speaks of your glory, O God Most High. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of our God. Hosanna in the highest. Amen. Friends, we do remember that in the midst of a Passover feast, Jesus gathered with his disciples in the upper room. And I imagine he sort of maybe clinked his glass and he paused the meal. And he said to them, "Friends, this bread is my body, broken for you. Whenever you eat of this, whenever you do this, do it in remembrance of me." And in the same way, after breaking bread, Christ took the cup. And after giving thanks for it and pouring it out, he said to them, "This is my blood, poured out for you, and whenever you do this, do it in remembrance of me." Come, Holy Spirit, come. Bless this bread and bless this fruit of the vine. Bless all of us in our eating and drinking at this table, that our eyes may be opened and that we may recognize the risen Christ in our midst, in each other, and in all for whom Christ died. Amen. My friends, I invite you now to come, for all things are now ready. Friends, this is for us Christ's body, a life broken that we might live lives of wholeness. Remembering this, we take and eat. Thank you. Friends, this is for us the blood of Christ, a life poured out that we might know lives, that we might know love in its fullness. Remembering this, we take and drink. I invite you to join me in our prayer of thanksgiving. We give thanks, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us at your table by granting us the presence of Jesus Christ. Strengthen our faith, increase our love for one another, and send us forth into the world in courage and peace, rejoicing in the power of the Holy Spirit, through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen.
These are the joys that we celebrate today. A joy for Dale Davis, who accepted our call to be our interim pastor. Joy for Joe Fair, who celebrates his 88th birthday on Wednesday, August 17th. And for Patty Thomas, Ricky Sands, and one of our sons, who all had birthdays on August 12th. And our oldest grandson turns 13 today. That makes Don and I even older. And of course, we have some concerns for the Bertolette family, for a friend of ours, Jeff Sinkinson, who broke his neck in a water accident while on vacation, and a heavenly birthday for Sue yesterday. It was yesterday, correct? And Mary Sue Buckler, who entered hospice. Prayers for Mary Sue and her family, and for Shirley Hale, who is rehabbing at Gwynedd Rehab Center. Let us pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for the many joys in our lives, for all the birthdays that were mentioned, for Dale Davis. Remind us to be thankful of the joys and abundances in our lives that are around us every day. The song of a bird, the smile of a stranger, the wisdom of a child. As we come to you, we remember those who are sick and those who are suffering. Wrap your loving arms around the Bertolette family, for Jeff, for Mary Sue Buckler, and for Shirley Hale. Heal their pain, mend their brokenness, ease their sorrow. Help us to be there for those who live on the margins of life, those who need a friend. We pray that your love and compassion surround all those in need. We pray for our country and our leaders and all countries and leaders worldwide. We pray that they would reach out in peace to one another. Guide us, Lord, as stewards of this earth to do better in protecting it for generations to come. May your spirit give strength to all your people. Unite us in truth and love. Come, Lord, restore us. Bring hope and healing this day and all days forward. Amen.
Hopefully you had a chance to place your offering in the plates as you came in. A reminder that if you did not get a chance to do that, you're welcome to come forward after the service and to place your envelopes or whatever you're giving into the plates. But I invite you now to stand as we join in singing our doxology, as our offering is brought forward and as we lift it up to God together. Loving God, the work of restoration so often takes concrete, tangible resources. So for these gifts that have been generously shared, we give you thanks. May we use what has been offered in ways that do indeed honor and shine light upon your people in ways that help and heal. May we invite you along in our discernment and in our living out of your call to be restorers. All of these things we pray in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.
As you go from this place out into the world, may you take what has been restored in you, what has nourished you at this table, in this place, and use it to nourish others, to nourish the world. And may you do so knowing that the love of God, the amazing grace of Christ, and the power of God's Holy Spirit goes with you and joins you in your work of restoration this day and every day. Amen.